Welcome to Leesville Church. This is a memorial service for Anita C. Jacks. We're here to celebrate her life, to worship God who is the author of life, and to commit her back into God's hands. Scripture promises us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of need. And so let's bow our heads and invite Him to meet us here. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have been faithful to this present moment, and you promised, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." May this grieving family feel the support of their neighbors and friends. May they feel the Christian love of their Christian brothers and sisters. And above all, may they feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, and give special enablement to Russ and Amy as they not only grieve their loss as children, but as they console this family as ministers of the gospel. These things we ask in the name of our risen Savior, who has taken away the sting of death and robbed the grave of its victory. His name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join with me in reading the response of reading the Litany of Praise. We express our gratitude for God's presence in the life of Anita Jacks, for God's presence in our lives.
God is our Creator. God is our refuge and strength.
We share in the memories of Anita's life and in appreciation for that life, and we worship in the Christian hope of eternal life.
God is with us in our sense of loss. We claim the assurance of God's love.
Amen.
Maria, gratia plena, Maria, gratia plena, Maria, gratia plena, Ave Dominus, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus, et benedictus fructus ventris, ventris tui, Jesu. Ave Maria. Ave Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, ora pro nobis, ora pro nobis peccatoribus. Nunc et in oro mortis, in oro mortis nostre, in oro mortis, mortis nostre, in oro mortis nostre. Ave Maria.
My mother-in-law was one of the most ordinary women I have ever known. Now, if those words don't sound like they belong at the beginning of a tribute spoken at a funeral, please stay with me. When Nita Jax died, I had known her for 4 decades, and in that time she had never served on any committees or participated in any clubs. She never sang any solos or won any awards. She never made the headline news, never spoke publicly at any event. Even in church and family gatherings, Nita never called attention to herself. My mother-in-law was one of the most ordinary women I've ever known, and in a world of glamour-seeking, attention-getting, power-grabbing, money-grubbing, fame-hungry, self-indulgent insecurity, I cannot think of a better compliment. Nita did not seek glamour, but she radiated the kind of beauty that speaks for itself. She did not need attention, but was content with the routines of the seasons and of her religion and of her large and wonderful family. Power and money and fame were not in her vocabulary, and though I only knew her after she had lived 50 years, life's experience has taught me that we almost always get to live or have to live in the second half of life with what we made important in the first half. And while much of the world's insecurity drives the destructiveness of so many self-indulgent behaviors, the rare few among us who actually know who they are and are honestly content with that image in the mirror and on the street, these rare few are a quiet testimony to the potential God calls from all of us. Mom was not perfect. No saint ever has been. But she was perfectly content with her ordinary life, living on A.B. Jack's Road and rarely venturing beyond the county line. She was content sharing the life she had been given with the life she had made for herself. Now, to be fair, contentment may be easier to choose when fate cooperates. And fate did eventually smile on her, but it was not as if Nita's life was free of harsh challenges and bitter heartaches. She knew a childhood of depression-era poverty and the hardship of family struggles. She was faithful to her Roman Catholic rituals in a southern culture that sometimes still decries hocus pocus on any expressions of religion that it cannot understand. She knew the tragedies associated with war, and she endured the premature deaths of a young daughter, a teenage grandson, a beautiful niece, as well as the loss of beloved parents and siblings, dear friends, a faithful husband. Through it all, Mom remained an ordinary woman, not broken or bitter, neither jaded nor jealous. Nita Jax, through all the tragedy life can throw your way, remained faithful and fearless, a perfect picture of ordinary living. And when the end came, after fighting a menace named Parkinson's for 20 years, the ordinary shone through like those cloudbursts, which make the radiance of the sun even more spectacular than it is in a full blue sky. You see, my mother-in-law lived her life as life is best lived, quietly and slowly. So when it came time to die, she died the same way. It may be the only way to find God in all the chaos. When you can live and die the ordinary way, quietly, slowly, what you find is that life itself, ordinary life, is spectacular. It is filled with simple goodness and unexpected grace. An ordinary, spectacular life is long-suffering and virtually indestructible. So even after the hope was gone, the fight lived on. And for 8 long, holy days, her children and grandchildren stayed at Mom's bedside, because when the ordinary comes to pass, you don't want to miss it. Now that she is gone, and ordinary time rolls on, I will thank my God every time I think of her, because my mother-in-law has taught me that maybe only such ordinary living, a slow and quiet dying, can show us the character of true love. And I find that extraordinary. For Nita Casanova Jax, ordinarily extraordinary. Thanks be to God.
When Rhett and Susan and I decided what scripture we would read, it was so obvious. I'm working hard to let the whole of my mother's life shine through, and not just the last 8 days. But right now, the last 8 days are right there. And what we did, and what she did, was to wait. And here's what the prophet Isaiah has to say about waiting. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the psalmist says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. This sounded like a great idea for me to do this when I thought of it. In the moment, it's not feeling quite as great, so hang in there. Before I begin, on behalf of our family, we want to thank you all for the love and care and support, especially over this last week. We have felt your prayers. When trying to decide who would sit where, especially to make sure we had enough seats for everyone, we decided to put Mama's nieces and nephews in the choir loft. There's a lot of them. But it seemed fitting because our cousins have had our backs 24/7 for the last 10 days. And they've had our backs in all of our family's sorrows and joys over all these years. And we hope that we have had theirs as well. We could not have made it without y'all this week. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, truly. Mama was not a member at Leesville Southern Methodist Church. Daddy was. Mama was raised Catholic, and she remained faithful and devout all of her days, even after she no longer could attend Mass. Even when the Pope said that it was okay to eat meat on Friday, something in Mama said, that's not right. If it wasn't right all my days growing up, it isn't right now. And shrimp and salmon stew were the Friday feasts most often. She wished that the Mass was still said in Latin. She liked the sound of it, even if she didn't understand every word. I guess you might could say Mama wasn't much for change. She attended Mass faithfully, mostly alone, except when Rut and Susan and I were young and we divided our time between St. Boniface Catholic Church in Joanna and Leesville Southern Methodist Church with Daddy. But as the three of us recalled, there was never a time that either of our parents pushed us or pressured us in either direction. I guess they both understood that both were Christian, and we couldn't go wrong as long as we dedicated our lives to God and followed in the way of Jesus and committed ourselves to live a life in a community of faith. So the three of us chose Leesville, and Mama never once did anything but totally support that decision. She would attend Mass and then find ways to be here for Youth Sunday and special programs and fellowship suppers and homecoming on the grounds before there was even a fellowship hall where she still came to fellowship suppers often. So Leesville was like a second faith home to her. I think some people were surprised that we chose to celebrate her life here. But we didn't choose this. She did. When Daddy died 12 years ago, we obviously held his funeral in the only church home he had ever known. But our family also gathered a few weeks later at St. Boniface Catholic Church, where a private Mass was held for the repose of my father's soul. And on the way home that day, Mama said she wanted the same thing for herself. So we gather here today in the church home of my father, my brother, my sister, and me to celebrate and give thanks for the life of my mother. In a few weeks, our family will gather at St. Boniface for Mass for the repose of my mother's soul. The only Catholic person in attendance will be the priest. But her Protestant children and families will be there to receive a blessing and hear her name called in her church and another opportunity to thank God for her. I marvel at how Mama and Daddy maneuvered those different religious waters, different only in some practices, the same in core beliefs. Never did I understand that more than when I offered something of a last rites for my mother last Tuesday night a week ago when we thought she would not make it through that night. I marked the sign of the cross upon her forehead with oil, and I tearfully uttered these prayers from the Catholic Church for just such an occasion. Go forth, Christian soul, from this world, in the name of God, the Almighty Father, who created you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who suffered for you. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon you. Go forth, faithful Christian. May you live in peace this day. May your home be with God in Zion, with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with Joseph and all the angels and saints. Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, we pray for your servant Anita and commend her to your mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then I said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And so we gather here this day as Christians, giving thanks to God for Anita Casanova Jax, a servant of God, a faithful wife and mother and grandmother and great-grandmother. Her family was her life. And while she had a few jobs here and there in her younger years, her number one job was taking care of Daddy. And that, my friends, was a full-time job and no easy task. I kid you not, she laid out his clothes for the next day every single night. He never picked out his own clothes, not one day. She turned down his covers every single night. She understood his sign language, that rubbing your fingers together has nothing to do with money. It says, Nita, I need another piece of toast. He was outgoing and gregarious. She was quiet and reserved. He was an early riser. She was a night owl. He loved adventure. She was a homebody. He was opinionated. She kept her mouth shut. He was always early. She was always late. We recalled in this last week how when Daddy was ready to go somewhere, he would start in, Nita, would you please come on? Nita, would you please hurry up? And then he would go on out to the car and sit in the driveway and blow the horn. I don't think it ever made her hurry up, not one time. So we could just picture Daddy in heaven this week pleading with Mama, Nita, please come on. It did not make her hurry up this week either, I can promise you that. But for all of their differences, they were the perfect match. The perfect match. He made her laugh. She made him happy. And I realized after his death how much he brought her to life for us. That sometimes we really only knew who she was through his eyes because she would never talk about herself. And he enjoyed telling most about her beauty. I can hear him now telling the teenage granddaughters, you all are pretty, but you should have seen Mom. She would put all of you to shame. I love to hear him brag about her. And then in his crafty storytelling way, he would recall the funniest events and end them with, isn't that right, Mom? And almost always her reply was, yeah, that's about right. And whenever she would do something or say something with any amount of feistiness or cleverness, you would hear Daddy say, do it, Mom. I imagine a young love that blossomed into hard-fought commitment of living through lean times, the grief of the death of a daughter, to build a life that has left Rut and Susan and me nothing but absolutely grateful for being raised right by parents committed to God and family and happiness and love and affection. What more could we have hoped for? You see, it's hard to give a eulogy for Mama without giving a little one for Daddy, too, because they just belong together. In all their differences and after all these years, I still only think of them as together. And so when Daddy was so sick, he told the three of us over and over and over again, always with just a slight tremble in his voice, I'm going to be all right. You just take care of Mom. I'm not quite sure he knew what he was asking. How could he know that she would live so long without him when we are convinced he couldn't have lived a day without her? And how could he have known the level of care that she would need as she braved Parkinson's disease? I am convinced, had he known, he would have told us the same thing anyway. They raised us to be family, and that's what we have been. I have stood in this spot in probably hundreds of funerals by now. And it's always my goal to be able to say to a family that is deserving these important words of blessing whenever love and care are so gracefully offered. And I can promise you, there has never been a time that these words have been more true than they are today. Rut and Ginger, Susan and Don, well done, good and faithful servants. For the way that you took care of Mama. Daddy would be so proud. Never making me feel guilty that I couldn't pull my third. Always putting Mama first. always willing to sacrifice for her. To her credit, she made it as easy as she could by never complaining and never demanding. And when I say never, what I mean is never. Anything suited her. She was not hard to please, and the last thing she ever wanted was for someone to go to trouble for her. She was a great meat and potatoes cook because Daddy didn't like casseroles. She washed the clean off when she gave baths. She was never pretentious, but also never without her plastic rain bonnet to cover her hair. She recycled before recycling was cool. Egg cartons, milk jugs, bread twisty ties, burned out light bulbs, we've got you covered. She stayed up to the early hours of the morning wrapping Christmas presents while watching the Pope offer Christmas Eve Mass on TV. She always waited up until we got home. She didn't really like for us to spend the night with friends because she liked it when everyone was home, but she also didn't like to tell us no either. She brought cupcakes to school. She was the volunteer in the health room. She made our favorite cakes, even the ones that were the most trouble to make. But if I had to give one example of what kind of wife and mother she was, it would be this. You're going to think I'm crazy, but this is it. Daddy liked his oatmeal thin as soup. I liked my oatmeal thick as mush. So if we had oatmeal for breakfast, there were always two pots on the stove, one thick and one thin. Daddy liked his cinnamon rolls or biscuits thin and crunchy and way too done, almost burnt. I liked mine just shy of raw, all gooey and soft. She would take the pan out of the oven early, remove mine from the pan, stick his back in the oven, and get them all awful and too done. And in my opinion, that sums up my mother. I don't think they make them like that anymore. Mothers that don't complain, because how can you complain when all she wanted to do was to provide the kind of life that we wanted, and she always did. She may have been quiet and shy and reserved and slow and easygoing, but we know she was the strongest woman we have ever met. And we are the luckiest. She was ours. Thanks be to God for Anita Casanova Jax, who is best known to the world as Mom. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, for her quiet presence, we give thanks. For her faithful living, we give thanks. For her steady way, we give thanks. For the family that she raised and loved, we give thanks. For all the ways that she graced this world with her beauty, we give thanks. May we learn something from her quiet, faithful, steady, grace-filled way.
At the conclusion of every funeral service at Park Road Baptist Church, we remind our congregation that a benediction is not a prayer, properly speaking, so much as it is a good word. It is a blessing. And so as we prepare to go to the graveside and then to depart, let me offer you this good word this day, that as you go, you might live a little better because you knew Mom. Then maybe you'll live a little more quietly. Then maybe you'll live a little more slowly. That as you go into this world and live a little more simply, you might find God and life would be extraordinary. Take Mom with you in your memories and be at peace.